Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah, Daf Mem Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Our previous shiur ended with a question. We had seen at the bottom of Mem Beis Omid Beis a series of sources that were quoted by Rav Sheshes in a framed section with three diamonds in it, about a quarter of the way up from the bottom of Mem Beis Omid Beis. Three sources that dealt with the issue of making of images. The question that came up was, how are we to understand each section? The Gemara analyzed each section on its own and tried to develop a sense of consistency in each quote. The issue was, are we talking there about the making of these images or the possessing of these images, ownership of these images? The resolution or the conclusion that we reached at the end of the question is, it doesn't appear that there is any consistency in these three sources. If one surveys the conclusion of each section by looking back at the previous Gemara, we have featured in a double underline the conclusion that one may reach at regarding each section. So the first double underline that one sees at the lower part of Mem Beis Amid Beis was Pshita B'motze. We explained the ratio, the first section of Rav Sheshes' source or series of sources, as talking about a heter regarding one who finds things. The mitzios of the middle section, we have to conclude, and we did that three lines from the bottom of Mem Beis Amid Beis, that it was talking about the issue of making them, oseh. And the final clause, we had to conclude, and we did that at the top of this omid of Mem Gimel Omid Aleph, that once again it was talking about someone finding things. The Gemara therefore ended off with a feeling, an uncomfortable feeling, which the Gemara stated on the third line from the top, Reisha v'seifa b'motzei u'mitziyosa b'oise. Our shiur begins today with an answer to this. Omar Abaye. Abaye says, "In yes, we have to settle with this position of Reisha v'seifa b'motzei. The first clause and the third clause we're talking about someone finding these things." U'mitziyosa, and the middle clause, be'oise, as we concluded when we were analyzing it. Rava takes a different position. Rava Omar Kula b'motse. All of these sources are talking about one who finds them. Well, if you say that, then we ran into a difficulty concerning the middle quote, the middle source that Rav Sheshes' quote, and that had to do with parts of Odom, the human face. And we said that if that middle clause is talking about motze, it said, we can just review what it said there. It said, "Kol ha-partzufos mutar," and all faces are mutar chutz mi partzuf adam, with the exception of the human face. But then we raised the problem that if it's talking about motze, and one finds a human face, is that really excluded? Is that, can you say chutz mi partzuf adam, if one finds the image of a human face, it's forbidden? That's not true. So the Gemara Rava here explains as follows: U'mitziyosa, the middle clause where we ran into a problem concerning the issue of the human face, Rabbi Yehuda, that middle quote is courtesy of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, the Sanya. Rabbi Yehuda Moisif. Rabbi Yehuda adds to the list of things found that are forbidden, which included Suras Chamot, Suras Levona, and the Drakon, where the Mishnah had said, bring them to the Dead Sea. Rabbi Yehuda adds some more images, which are of a human nature. And let's see it in this Tanaic source, which you can see is in a frame. Rabbi Yehuda Moisif, Aftemus Meniko Vesar Ofis. He adds the one who finds the image of a nursing person, nursing human, nursing woman, and a sar office. The sar office has to do with a human being, which we'll see explained by the Gemara very shortly, is someone who supports the world. Someone who, the word office comes from the word hafis, which means to placate people, and in the years of famine, if someone is supporting the population, he is placating them, so he's referred to by the term office, which comes from the word placate. But the source explains Meniko, the image of a nursing woman, how is that associated with something problematic? Well, Al Shem Chavo Shemeniko Kol Olam Kulo. It's an image made in honor of the first woman, Chavo, who is said to sustain the entire world. And hence, it's when you find an image like that, one can assume it's something that's worshipped. Sar Ofis, Al Shem Yosef Shesor Umefis Eskolo Ulam Kulo. And this is qualified, V'hu Denokit Griva, the Kokayil, provided this image of a person supporting the world, is holding a measure of this is all part of the statue that he finds, but it's a vessel containing a measure of food, the kokail, and the image is measuring it out. The he and the female image, the nursing woman image, the nokta ben v'komeniko, and it is provided, it's holding a baby and it's nursing it. So if when you look back at that mitziosa, according to Rova's explanation, it fits into the scheme of things. Just like we explained the Reisha was B'motzei and the Sefer was B'motzei, the middle source is also talking about Motzei. What did the middle source say? That all faces are Mutter except for parts of Adam. And in fact, according to Rebbe Yehuda, parts of Adam could be a problem. If it's a face of a, if it's an image, a human image of a nursing woman, or the human image of some type of entity, of some type of person feeding the world. Tonu Rabbanan. The topic heading that we've assigned to this piece of Gemara is found in the outside margin, the no say. Number one, Tsuras Drakon. We'll talk a little bit about this dragon and a dragon image. And number two, Bitul Avodah Zarah de Goy, the voiding of an idol through the intervention of a Gentile. Tonu Rabbanan, the source that's quoted says, Ezu Tsuras Drakon. What is the Tsuras Drakon that we're referring to as being forbidden? Piresh Rav Shimon Elazar. Rav Shimon Elazar explains, Kol sheyesh lo tzitzin bein prokov. Anything that has scales between its vertebrae. Machvi Rabbi Asi, bein pirkei tzavor. The scales that represent a problem is if the scales are found between the joints of its neck. Omar Rabbi Chamo, Rabbi Chanina, Halacha Kurb Shimon Elazar. He rules that if it doesn't have these scales, it would be allowed. We now have a long marking. You can see we have a nun that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, between the Gemara and the Rashi, and we've also indicated in parentheses within that circle, Mises. We have a long point that incorporates in it a story with a point. Actually, for the sake of accuracy, we'll actually conclude three conclusions, and we see that by just scanning ahead in the Gemara. You can see a double underline, which is a series marking. These are double underlines with dots in them to distinguish them from double underlines that were used on the previous Amen. The Gemara continues. Omar Rabba Bar Chana, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Pam achas hoyisi mahalech, acha Rabbi Elazar akapor b'ribi, baderech. I was once following Rabbi Elazar on the road. Umotza shom tabas, and he found a ring. V'olao tsuros drakon, and on the ring was a dragon image. Umotza oivei kichovim koton, v'lomar lo klum. the letterings here are important for making a distinction between these different elements of the story. So the first point that's made is that he found, as he was walking along, he found a child, a Gentile child, and didn't say anything to him. Rabbi Elazar then met up with an adult Gentile, the Amarlo, Butla. He commanded, he said, void this. We're talking about the ring with the dragon image on it. Said, cancel it, void it, declare it null. So lo butla. And the Gentile didn't cooperate. Sotro, he slapped him on the face, ubutla. And I guess that like spoke his language. And he then cooperated, and he voided it. Shmami no tras. From this story, we can arrive at three conclusions. Number one, Shmami no oivid kachovim mevatel avidis kachovim shaloi v'shel chavero. An idol worshiper has the legal power to void his own idol and his friend's idol, even if it's an idol that's not his. His voiding, his nullification is binding. Ushmami no. We also can conclude that who is capable of voiding the following. Notice we have a phrase marking indicating we should read the whole line as one phrase. Yodea b'tiv shel avidis kachovim u'mishamsheha mevatel. One who knows the nature of idols and those things that serve them, he is capable of voiding. V'she'eino yodea b'tiv avidis kachovim u'mishamsheha. One who is unaware of the nature of idolatry and its service elements, eino mevatel, is not capable of voiding. How do we see that? We see from the fact that he didn't deal with the child at all, with the Gentile child. He didn't involve him at all, because he falls under this category of eino yodea b'tiv avodis kachovim. Number three, ushmami no, ove kachovim mevatel bal korcho. We can conclude that even if the idol worshipper is not enthusiastic about voiding it, to say the least, even if he doesn't want to do it, but if he does it under force, even though he's not willing in his cooperation, it nevertheless is binding. At this point in the Gemara, we now encounter a long question. The long question marking, you can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a kuf that's encircled, Megadev Ba Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina ridiculed this. The less lay the Rabbi Elazar HaKapor Beribi Hodisnan. Does Rabbi Elazar HaKapor Beribi not hold from the following? We have a Tanaic source, the conclusion of which will basically say, hey, in this story of the found ring, there should be no need for bittul. There should be no need for the voiding. Let's see how the source how it unfolds. Tisnan hamatzil min huari umin hadov. The source is found in the second parak of Bava Metzia, and it deals with the finding of lost articles. Under certain circumstances, under certain circumstances, one who finds a lost article is allowed to keep it for himself. And the reason for that, because those circumstances indicate to us that the owner must have certainly given up any hope of ever retrieving it. So the source says, Hamatzil min huari, if one saves something from a lion, in other words, there was an animal about to be pounced upon by a lion, and someone saved the animal from being consumed by the lion, or umin hado, from a bear, umin hanomer, from another carnivorous creature, umin hagayis, one who saves something from a plundering military force, umin hanohor, or from a river, umizuto shelyam, or some from the tide, something was on the shore and it was close enough to the water that when high tide would come, it would be swept into the river, or possibly other oceanic forces that would have caused its destruction, umishluviso shelnohor, or from the banks of a river. And the Rashi explains we're talking about a river that would overflow, and when it overflowed, the water would have drowned these items and been swept away back into the river. So one finds an item from those locations, v'hamotzi b'srachu patu gadola, or someone finds from a highway or a public plaza, From any other place that you have large assemblies of people, and one finds an item in that location, they are yours, you can't keep them, and they shall buy them, because the owner certainly would have ever given up hope of retrieving them. Now, this point of the owner having given up hope would indicate that, well, what happened in our story? The Rebbe Elazar found a ring. He found a ring on the road. The owner certainly would have given up hope on them. If that be the case, why is there any necessity for an additional voiding? The Gemara now answers, and you can see we've provided a long answer marking. That is indicated also to the left-hand side of the Gemara text with a tuft that's encircled with a vertical dashed line that follows. Omar Abaye, Nehi Demino Miyayish, granted that from the item itself, from ever retrieving the item, in other words, the owner of that ring with the dragon form on it, the owner does not anticipate getting it back. However, Miisura Miyayish, from the divine force, that's the Isur, the divine force that he feels is vested in this image. Does he give up hope on that? Meimar Omar, he figures, and we've indicated four shuras, there's four lines of Gemara which are dedicated to what's going through the mind of the owner, or former owner, the owner of that lost ring. What's going through his mind? So Meimar Omar, he figures. If a Gentile finds it, he'll worship. In other words, he'll pick up where I left off. So he's quite happy with that. And if a Jew finds it, and since it's expensive, the item, this ring with the dragon form, has value to it, he'll sell it to a Gentile who will continue worshiping it. So we see the need for voiding, and then we understand Rebbe Elazar HaKabra Bribi's behavior in his trying to find someone to void it, because otherwise the divinity that was originally invested in this particular ring would remain. Tanan Hossam. Before we go on, let's glance at the side of the Gemara. We have a topic heading. The notes say, Eich Mutar Oysam Tsuros Levona Shohoyu L'Rabon Gamliel. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah tells us that Rabbi Gamliel had moon images in his possession. The question is, how was he allowed to have these moon images? The topic heading goes on to say, Ezot Suros, which images Osur La'asayisom are forbidden to make, Osur La'achzikom, and which images are forbidden to be in possession of. As the Gemara unfolds, we're going to notice a rather vigorous back and forth discussion. In order to help one keep track of this, we will see the use of triangles, with the points changing, the position of the triangle changing as we go along in the Gemara, with the point facing upwards, those will represent shelos, questions, and with the point facing downwards, tshuvos. And we've done this, kedei lahokil al hamakav, to ease the ability to keep track of the flow, the play-by-play of this sugya. So let us continue. Tanan Hossam. Dumus Tsuros Levonos Hoyu Lodor Gamliel Balioso Betavlo Bekoiso. He had, Rabbi Gamliel had the forms of moon forms that were on some type of tray or in a frame that were on his wall. Shebohen Mara Esadiotos, that he used these moon forms to show commoners that came to testify about the appearance of the new phase of the moon representing the beginning of the new month, the Rosh Chodesh dedication. The Omer Lahen, and he would, because the new, starting of a new month was determined by witnesses testifying about their sighting of the moon in its new phase, he would ask them, the Omer Lahem, and he would ask them, using these different moon models, He went, Kozero Isem, oh Kozer Isem, did you see something like this or something like that? And this was in order to determine whether the witnesses were testifying honestly or not. The details behind moon images and the moon shapes that one sees in the skies, that's a discussion developed in Maseches Rosh Hashanah at greater length. However, for our purposes, we see that Rabban Gamliel was in possession of a tsura of tsuros levonos, different moon forms. The Gemara now asks, Umi Shari, is this allowed? Vaksiv, does it not say Lo Sasun Iti? That's a pasuk in Parshas Yisro and Sefer Shmois that is explained as follows: Lo Sasun Kidmus Shamoshai Meshamshin Lefonai, that one is forbidden in making images of those forms that serve in the heavens, and the moon is one of those bodies that serves in the heavens. Omar Abaye, a response: Lo Osro Torah Elo Shamoshim She'efshir La'asoyis Kemoisan. When the Torah says, do not make images that are used in let's say, divine service, those are images that one can make an exact replica of them. In other words, there's something that is what's called kedmus shamoshai, images of things that serve me. So there's an original thing that is in the service of the Almighty, and the prohibition is making an exact replica of that which is in service of the Almighty. Now, when we talk about an exact replica, that would certainly exclude the moon. One cannot make an exact replica of the moon. When we talk about exact, we're talking including the sizes, including the dimensions, exact. Kedisanya. And here we have a source that illustrates what that which really is forbidden. And we will see here items that are, that their original is in service of the Almighty. And you, in theory, could make an exact replica. For example, the source says, Lo yase adam bayis tavnis hecha. One is not allowed to construct a house that's, that has the same form as the sanctuary of the Beis HaMikdash. Or achsadra, a porch, tavnis ulam. The ulam was the entranceway, the building that constituted the entranceway to the sanctuary of the Beis HaMikdash, the Ulam. Chotzer, one is not allowed to build or set up a courtyard, Tavnes Azorah, that has the same dimensions as the Azorah of the Beis HaMikdash. And we go on with a number of other holy vessels. Shulchan, Tavnes Shulchan. Menorah, Tavnes Menorah. Avol, one is allowed to make a candelabra with 5 or 6 or 8 branches to it. And other, well, but a 7-branch candelabra, lo yaaseh, one is not allowed to make it. Afilu shel shamine matris, even from other metals, meaning other than gold. We know that in the Beis HaMikdash, the ideal menorah, the Torah dictates, it's made of gold. The prohibition here extends to even other metals. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Omer, af shel eitz lo yaaseh, kedero shel su beis chashmonoi. Even a 7-branched wooden menorah, wooden candelabra, one would not be allowed to make, because wood had a precedent in the Beis HaMikdash itself in the times of the Hashmonaim. The Hashmonaim rededicated the temple after the Greeks had desecrated it, and they set up a 7-branched wooden menorah. Amru lo, the Chachamim that disagree with Rabbi Yossi Bribita say, Misham Raya, from the story of the Hashmonaim, you're trying to bring a Raya, a proof that wood is a problem? Shpudim Shabarzel Hoyu. In the case of the Hashmonaim, it really was a metal-branched menorah, and shohayu umechupin bedil, they were covered, these worth with bedil, a type of metal that it could be that the bedil. Let's read that Gemara again. It was umechupin bebaatz. It was covered. The metal branches were covered with baatz. Baatz, Rashi explains, is bedil. Bedil is the name of some kind of metal. It could be that, this is my own theory, that the metal bedil had some type of appearance of wood, so that there would have been room for such a mistake. So the Rabbanan are clarifying or setting Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda straight by saying it wasn't wood. The whole thing was basically metal, covered with another form of metal that could be misconstrued. Nevertheless, according to the Chumim, a seven-branched wooden menorah would seem to be allowed. But turning back to historically, we say it was made of some kind of cheap metal. Shiru Asom Shel Kesef, when they became wealthier after the Chashmonoim kingdom continued and they increased wealth, so they upgraded their menorah to one of silver. Chazru Veshu, they increased their financial capacity even more. And Asom Shel Zov, and it was upgraded finally to gold. For our purposes, though, what do we see? We had a question concerning Rabbi Gamliel's moon images. Abaye answered, in the meantime, that the only prohibition as far as the Torah is concerned is making exact replicas, as this source illustrates. However, making a moon image, since you can't make an exact replica of the moon, therefore, there should be no problem. The Gemara, though, asks, V'shamoshim shi'i efshor la'asoyz kemoysen mishori. Those kind of things that one cannot make an exact replica of, are they really allowed? V'otan, you have the following source. It says, lo'isa'asuniti, which is darshan lo'sasin kedmus shamoshai hamishamshin lefonai bamoro. This is an additional prohibition of things that are in service of God. We just saw one list of examples, the Beis Hamikdash related items, but this goes further. This says even those forms that serve God in the heavens. Well, that would seem to include the moon. So how could Rabbi Gamliel have those moon images? Omar Abaye. Abaye answers once again. He says, Loi osru Torah l'bedmus dalid ponim bahadi hadodi. When the din of Mishamshin lefonim by Morom is stated, it's not referring to every heavenly body to include the moon, but rather it's a prohibition of making an image of the four faces that Rashi makes reference to, the Pnei Shor, V'Yodom, Aryeh, V'Nesher, and taking these four faces of an ox, a man, a lion, and an eagle, and forming them into one image that has these four faces to it. That is what's included or concerned by the prohibition. However, not the moon. The moon is not prohibited. The Gemara asks, if you are correct, if Abaye's answer is correct, that the only prohibition is the four faces together, then elameato partsuf odom l'chudei tishteri. It should be, then, that an isolated human face, when it's not part of the four, should be allowed. So aloma tanya, so why does it say, kol ha-partsufos mutoron chutz mi-partsuf odom? What is the basis of this restriction, where an isolated human face is forbidden? This would seem to go beyond Abaye's answer. Omar Rabbi Yehuda Breda Rabbi Yeshua Mi Pirkei Rabbi Yeshua Shamili. So Rabbi Yehuda tells us that I learned from the shiur, from the teaching of Rabbi Yeshua, the following: Lo Sasun Iti equals Lo Sasun Oisi. The reference here is to not to make Oisi, which is a reference to a person, that because a person is made in the image of God, so to speak. So, this Gezeres HaKosuv of Lo Sasun Osi covers the restriction on parts of Odom by itself. Avol Shar Shamoshin Shori. We've dashed underlined this just to bring into focus that as far as Rabbi Gamliel's practice is concerned, there should be no problem. Other service images would be alright. So, as far as the Shamoshim that are Mishamshin Bamorom, what we have forbidden till this point would be the four faces together. As far as a human face, an isolated human face, that's covered by another restriction. But moon images are not prohibited. Question, Ushar Shamoshin Mishori? Can we say that other service bodies are allowed? V'hotanya, we have the following source. Loi Sasuniti equals Lo Sasun Kidmus Shamoshai Hameshamshin Lefonai Bamorom. One is not allowed to make the images of those bodies that serve in the heavens, kagon. These are names of different heavenly images, kagon, oifanim, usrafim, v'chayos ha-kodesh, u'malachai ha-shores. The last one are images, the others are not important for us at this point to translate. Sufficient to say that we see that when it comes to Shamoshim Bamorom, there are a number of other things that are included as well. So why is it that we're so sure that the moon is allowed? We see the prohibition of making images that serve in the heavens. That prohibition is rather broad. Omar Abaye, Lo Osro Torah Elo Shamoshim Sheme Modur Ha'Elyon. The Torah, when it forbids those images that serve in the heavens, they are those images that serve in the upper heavens. These are, of course, concepts that we'll relegate them to the realm of the mystical, of the realm of Torah that requires much deeper analysis, and it's a very holy realm that is far from the purview of our shiurim to deal with. But we can at least refer to this as different classifications, and that is as follows: that there are upper heavenly realms and lower heavenly realms. The Torah, when it says not to make images that serve in the heavens, Rabbi explains those are forms that serve in the upper heavenly realms, which does not include the moon. The moon is a lower heavenly realm. Question: V'shebemodur hatachton mishari, is that really so, that in the modur hatachton the lower realms are allowed? V'atanya, we have the following source: Asher bashamayim. The pasuk actually says Asher bashamayim mimal v'al horetz mitochas. So this pasuk is now broken up as follows: Asher bashamayim. Le rabois chama ulevona koychavim umazolos. We see from our markings how we've dashed underlined levona. This pasuk once again is coming off the heels of "do not make." We don't see it quoted in the text itself, but we see that it's coming from the pasuk that said "do not make different things," and this includes. The moon, mima'al. Let us just, for the sake of accuracy, just point out that this pasuk is talking in the general realm of idolatry and is delineating those things that are forbidden. Now, this is coming from Shmos Perek Chof Pasuk Dalid, which is found in the Ten Commandments in the Aseres HaDibros, and the pasuk says, and we've included it on the side of our Gemara. It says, "Loi sase l'cho pesel v'cho tmuna, asher b'shomay mimal v'asher b'oretz mitochas v'asher b'mayim mitachas l'oretz." So you have a pasuk that's saying, "Do not make these different images," and we're now including in this prohibition the moon. And the source goes on to say, "Mimal l'rabois malachi hashores." So the Gemara responds, "Ki Tanya hi, this Tanaic source that talks about a moon restriction, that's li'oivdom. That's as far as worshipping them. But as far as making them, that would seem to be, that's okay. So as far as Rabbi Amiel is concerned, no problem." We see a bracketed section, which for our purposes we're going to skip initially, in order to maintain the flow and continuity of the question-answer structure that we're involved with. In other words, the last point we said that as far as this pasuk in Shmos Chof, pasuk Dalid, that was talking about a prohibition of worshipping. But as far as making, and we wrote that in at the beginning of the line, we've written in Aval Asiyosa Mutter. Now, if we skip the brackets, we see the Asiyo Greiso Mishari is simple. Is the simple making of it allowed? That's what we just concluded before the brackets, that the making of the moon would be okay. Now we're going to call that into question. We bring a source that mentions there's a restriction in making moon images. And then we'll have to deal with, what about Rabbi Gamliel? Okay, let's now, before going on with that, let's go back to the bracketed section. How did we explain Asher Bashamayim, the source that featured Shmois Chav Pasuk Dalet, the inverted triangle that we most recently saw said Ki Tanya Hi Lo Oivdom. That source is talking about the worshipping. The Gemara asks, in the brackets, I Lo Oivdom, if this source is talking about the worshipping of Afilu Shilshu Kotanami, then as far as the prohibition of worshipping, that includes even a worm. Why would a source feature all of these grandiose heavenly bodies as being forbidden in worshipping when even a worm is included in that prohibition? So the Gemara says, you know something, you're right. In Hochinami, Ume Seife Dekro, Nafko. The idea of a worm being prohibited to worship is quite the case, and in the continuation, the Seife Dekro, the end of the Pasuk, in fact, bears that out, the Sanya. The Brisa quotes you can see this is the continuation of the Pasuk, Asher Ba'aretz, this was in Pasuk Dalet. It says, L'rabos yamim unohoros horum ugvos, that one is forbidden to worship the seas and the rivers and the mountains and the hills. And the Pasuk says, Mitachas. The Pasuk says, Asher Ba'aretz Mitachas. L'rabos shilshukotan, to include a worm as well. So at this point in the Gemara, the prohibition featured in the previous source was, as we answered, it's talking about the worship of. But as far as making, that should be okay. So we can make the moon. The Gemara asks, Vasya great Sobishari, is that in fact true that to make a moon image would be alright, Vatanya? The Pasuk says, Lo Sasun Iti, which equals Lo Sasun Kidmus Shamoshai Mashamshin Lefonai Bamoro. One is not allowed to make the forms of those things that serve in the heavens. And what are the forms in the heavens that are prohibited? Kagon Chama Ulevona, Kochavu Mazolson. We've dashed on Ulevona because this is the focus of our discussion. Here we have an obvious prohibition in making a moon image. What about Rabbi Gamliel then? Gemara answers, Shiny Rabbi Gamliel, the Achirim Osulo. Rabbi Gamliel's case is different because there Goyim made it for him. Gentiles made it for him. The Gemara asks, "Vaha Rabbi Yehuda, the Acherim Osu Lo." We have a case where there was an image that Rabbi Yehuda had. It was a case that others made it. This was an image on a ring that Rabbi Yehuda used to wear. The Amalei Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel, upon noticing this ring with the image on it that Rabbi Yehuda was wearing, he said, "Shinina." Smart one, it's a title of excellence. He says, Sami Eine the Dane. You've got to knock out the eye of the image on that ring of yours. In other words, you've got to have it, destroyed or altered. For our purposes, the idea of Acherim Osulo is not an absolute heter. The Gemara answers, now we have some brackets that appear in the Gemara. These brackets are to enable us to focus on the main point. So let us first read a clause of Gemara and then go over the whole structure that features the brackets. So one says, Hosam, notes we skip, Mishum Hashada. There in the case of Buda, if he wouldn't destroy that image that's on his ring, it would have caused a suspicion to have arisen. In other words, it would have caused him to be suspect of, God forbid, worshipping that image. Before going any further, we have a little star that is seen in the inside margin. Hesber Hasograyim. Iker Hatshuva Have Mishum Hashoda. The Iker answer that we're giving here to explain the story with Rabbi Yehuda and the ring is the reason that it had to be knocked out was because of the issue of arousing of suspicion. Inyan Chosamoy Boilate, the point mentioned in the brackets, which has to do with a protruding image. In other words, as opposed to something as an image that's, let's say, carved out of something, or a sunken image, Here we're talking about a chosam bolet. Bolet means something that protrudes. So that issue of the chosam bolet, bala hasbir lama yesh chashad, that will explain why there is an element of how chashad could rise, how suspicion could be aroused. Ubazeh yuvan kushes hagemara lekamon, and with this we'll be able to understand the Gemara later on, which asks the ha rabon gamliel, etc. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice another bracketed section, and this is explained at the next comment with the two asterisks that we've written in the inside margin. And we say here, Tam Sograim Elu, Kidei Lahatsmid Sheila Habo Umichai Shinon. We want to attach through the reading the following question, the question that follows the brackets, to the Tshuva Shnemar Kan Mishum Hashoda. So, as far as the first read-through, one has to, let's bear with it right now, with the skipping of the bracketed section, then we will reread the Gemara, including all of the material. We had raised a question on the Rav Gamliel practice, which we seem to have justified by having said that Rav Gamliel's moons were made for him by Gentiles. Then we raised the question from Rabbi Yehuda that had a ring with an image on it, which was also Achirim Asulo, and Shmuel said that you can't continue wearing that ring as it is. So the Gemara answers, well, the case with Rabbi Yehuda involved Chashoda, the raising of suspicion. The Gemara after the bracketed section now, on the third wide line, says, Umi Chashinan L'Chashoda. Who says that one has to take into consideration chashad whatsoever? There was a shul, a bekinish of the shul, the Shafi Yosef. It's the name of the shul in the city of Naharda. So we have the shul whose name was Shafi Yosef in Naharda. The Ukmi Bey Andarta. There was a statue there. The Havu Aili Bey Avud Shmuel VeLevi. These great sages Avud Shmuel and Levi entered that shul umatzlu begeve and davened in there. V'lo chayshi l'chashoda, they didn't seem to concern themselves whatsoever for suspicion. In other words, they walked into the shul and there was an image there, and they weren't worried that people would suspect them of going and bowing down to that image. The Gemara answers, Rabim Shaini. When you're dealing with the masses, someone goes in front of everyone, that does not raise suspicion. That's people understand you're going into a shul, even though there may have been a statue in there, but since it's a public affair, there is no suspicion. The Gemara will ask, well, if the problem arises only in private, so what about Ram Liel? That was a private thing. He had the moon in his attic there, in his aliyah. Before we get on with the Gemara, let's now go over the Gemara with all of the material including the bracketed section. And we'll pick up with this later. So first the Gemara. What we're doing now is going back to the first wide line. And once again, we had raised a problem on Rav Gamliel from the story with Rav Yehuda and his ring. So the Gemara says, "Hosam, in the case of Rav Yehuda, b'chaysamoy boilet umishum chashoda. The ring had a protruding image, and there was a problem of chashad, of suspicion. Disanya, the material right now in the bracketed section will be focusing on the problematic element of the bolet, of the protruding image. The source says, Tabas shechoysoma bolet, a ring that has a protruding image on it, osir lohanicho, it's osir to wear it, umutur lachtom ba, but one can use it as a signet ring to sign things. In other words, if a person had, let's say, a sealed document with some wax, he sealed it with wax, and then he took the ring with the protruding image and pressed on the ring into the soft wax material, what would happen? The resultant image would be a depressed image in the wax. Depressed images, as opposed to protruding images, they don't present any problem. A ring with a depressed image on it, mutar lo nicha, such a ring would be allowed to be worn. That won't arouse any suspicion. However, v'osir lachtoim ba, but it would be osir to use it as a sealing device. Because what happens? If you take a ring with a depressed image and press it on wax, the resultant image, as far as the wax is concerned, there will be a protruding image that results. And it seems from here, this source is telling us that protruding images create a problem with the realm of suspicion with regards to idolatry. The Gemara now asks, this question is focused on the point of suspicion. Umi chayshinon lechashada, is the issue of suspicion really something we take into consideration? V'habei kenish the Shafi Yosef in Arda. There was the story involving the shul of Shafi Yosef in the city of Narda. The ukmi beandarta, there was a statue erected in that shul. V'havu aili beavu d'shmuel v'levi, these great sages entered the shul. Umatzlu begave, matzlu means daven begave, in that shul. V'lo chayshi lechashada, they didn't take into consideration that they would be brought under suspicion of idol worship. The Gemara says, though, that's Rabim. That's a case of the public shining. That's different. So there, we don't worry about Hashad. But in cases like Rabbi Yehuda, which involved Rabbi Yehuda, the private man, people who would see him wearing a ring with a protruding image, he might be brought under suspicion. Therefore, Shmuel intervened and said, you got to knock out its eye. Question. What about Rabbi Gamliel and his moons? That was a case of yochid. That wasn't a public affair. And you don't seem to... And we're saying that Rabbi Gamliel was okay. He was okay with the moons. So the Gemara answers, Kevan the Nasi, who, since Rabbi Gamliel was the leader of the people, he was the Nasi, the head of the Jewish community, Shchichi Rabim Gabei, he too was an example of a public personality. And it was a public affair. Therefore, Rabbi Gamliel's moons represented no problem. V'iboyesema, another method of explaining Rabbi Gamliel's moons and their permissibility, deprokim havoye, it was made of pieces, of sections. In other words, it wasn't a complete moon image that he had hanging on his wall on an ongoing basis, but rather something else, deprokim. And Rashi explains as follows. Let us see the Rashi inside deprokim. Shel chulios, made of pieces, like a jigsaw puzzle. Veloy haya mechabrom elabishas pedikas edim. He assembled the pieces only at the time that the witnesses who were coming to testify about the their sighting of the new phase of the moon for Rosh Chodesh purposes, and only then was the moon image assembled. The chol yom lo chazu lo v'lekel chashada. But on an ongoing basis, day by day, you know, outside the point of the beginning of the month, generally speaking, throughout the rest of the month, it wasn't assembled, and there was no reason for any. There wasn't an issue of suspicion to be raised. The Gemara goes on. The iboy seima lehislame shiny. This third answer says that this whole issue of making images, even if they be forbidden images, if it's for teaching purposes, then there is a special allowance. And in the case of Rabbi Gamliel, he was using it for instructional purposes with regard to the witnesses. The Islamic Shani Desanya, Lo Slamed La Sois. That's the posuk that's in the Torah. It says, you shall not learn the ways of idolatry, forbidden ways, in order to practice. Avol ato lomed lahavin olaros, but you can study these things in order to understand and to issue rulings concerning those matters. So that even though according to this third approach, the making of the moon might be a problem, but if it's being made for instructional purposes, it's okay. Ramashim Gamliel Omer v'chulei. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnah made a distinction when it came to the forbidden images. He made a distinction where it was found. Was it found on honorable items or on non-dishonorable items? The Gemara will define these presently. Ezo hein mechubadim ve'ezo hein mevuzin. At the side of the Gemara, on the outside margin, we have a nose mivne, a structural note and a topic heading and structural note combined. We feature a diamond, machlokes Rav u Shmuel, their names appear in diamonds. Peshitas from Gamliel, concerning his opinion, Mahim Kalim Mevuzin Umechubodim, what are considered dishonorable or disparaged vessels and those that are honorable. The Gemara. Eizohein Mechubodim Vezim Mevuzin, Omar Rav, Mechubodim equals Lamalim in Amayim. If you have, let us say, eating utensils, if the image appears above the water level, if it's a spoon and you're using the spoon to eat soup, so if it's above the soup level, that's called aloud, or it could be a bowl or a pot. Mevuzin equals lamatim in amayim. If the image appears on the lower part of the vessel, let's say on the bowl of the spoon, if you will, the part that holds the soup in it, that would be called mevuzin. Ushmuel Omar, Elu Velu Mevuzin, all eating utensils are called mevuzin, disparaged, without any regard to position on the vessel itself. The idea of mechubad applies only to things that are made for decorative purposes. Elo Elu Hein Mechubadim, rather the following are called honorable. These, the Gemara now enumerates different types of ornaments, of jewelry, and as a result of their being made for decorative purposes, that says, that shows that they are mechubad, and as Rav Shlomo Eliel said, those would be forbidden. And they are shal hashirin v'al hanizomin v'al hatabos, on different kinds of shirin would be a bracelet, nizomim maybe a different type of a nose ring, and tabos finger rings. Tanya Kavosi de Shmuel, we have a Tanaic source supporting Shmuel's approach in defining Mechubadim and Mevuzin. Mechubadim equals Shal HaShirin Val Nizomin Val Tabos. We have these types of jewelry enumerated just like we saw. Those are called Mechubadim. Mevuzim, those vessels that are called disparaged, are, when we say disparaged, let us just say that that might not be the most accurate translation, but it's, we can use the negative, simply the non-honorable type vessels are shal ha-yoros, v'al ha-kum kamusin, v'al mechame ha-mayim. These are different types of vessels, are called clay michel, different types of pots used for food. V'shal ha-sadinim, v'al ha-matbeos. The matbeos is the girsa of the rach, the standard girsa is v'al mitpochos. The Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Omer, we see here a geometric form, and we might want to draw our attention to the note on the outside margin, the Nosei Mivneh heading. You see this house form assuming a different position, one with the roof facing up and the other inverted. And this is Lahokel Amakav. As we go on in the Gemara, we're going to see a give and take. You'll have Rabbi Yossi with the roof positioned upwards and flipped over, indicating the Chachomim that disagree with him. That's Machlokes Tanoim, Ma Oisim Im Ephro Shel Hoavodah Zorah Achrei Shenishchako V'Nitchadon. What does one do with the ground up Avodah Zorah? In other words, the particles after an idol has been ground up. What does one do? The house form with the point facing up equals Rabbi Yossi. Zora l'ruach v'eino choshish b'nei zevel. One can scatter it into the wind and doesn't have to worry about the particles landing and then serving as fertilizer. With the roof facing downwards equals Rabbanon. That's the Roshitas Rabbanon represented. Osir lizros l'ruach mishum chashash zevel. One cannot scatter the pieces of the ground up of Avodah Zorah because of our concern for them, for benefit being derived from it as fertilizer. So let us see the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shochek v'zorah l'ruach oimatil liyam. One should take the ground up idols and scatter it to the winds or throw it into the sea. Omru lo, the Rabbonin who disagrees said to him, Af hu naaseh zebel. If one scatters it into the wind, it can land and then form fertilizer, and people will derive benefit from it. Vinamar, and the pasuk says, "Lo yidbak biyad chamuma min acherim." One is not allowed to have any benefit from idolatry. The continuation of the Gemara features a brisa in which this give and take will continue. Mirtz Hashem, in our next shiur, we will delve into that. So with this, we conclude our shiur for today.